Hey, laddie.
Wherever you are.
Thank you. Number one, I'd like to take this opportunity to extend to you the love of your brethren in Columbus, Ohio. They all desired that their love be expressed to you. They enjoyed looking at the program. We had just one of them at the time in front of us, and I showed it around and told them about some of the things I've heard about the beautiful site that you had here, and let them desire in their hearts to be here with you. Especially Brother Owen and Sister Peggy asked that their love be conveyed to you. They requested that. Brother George this morning kind of opened up my thoughts this afternoon in talking to you about the administration of reconciliation. And I thought I'd like to have this afternoon kind of a heart-to-heart talk with you. It's the resurrection inheritance of the new creation that we're going to talk about. And I think as we, specifically you because of where you're sitting, looking out the window in front of you with the beautiful sight, the trees, the lake down below, the sky is beautiful. It's hard for us to recognize the things that are taking place in the earth today. They're far from us. We, like Abraham, have kind of taken ourselves aside, away from the city, out where it's quiet, where we can think about our Heavenly Father and about His kingdom. It reminds me of what the pastor wrote in the first volume that we often use in funeral discourses. As we think of all the trouble that is taking place in the earth today, banks failing, businesses going out of business right and left. I lock them up. That's my business. After they go out of business, I change the locks on. And the call is great. Things are falling apart very fast in this world. Political, one of our popular senators in the state of Ohio said, we used to be able to get away with things. We could say and do what we wanted to. Nobody ever checked up on us. It's not that way. Every hidden thing is being made known. The things that they want to accomplish, they cannot accomplish any longer. In the religious world, that too is falling apart. We think of Daniel, of a kingdom that was passed on, which was inferior and yet conquered, inferior to their relationship with the Lord. That inferiority, inferior government or religious organizations are manifesting itself all over. Everything seems to be falling apart. And brethren, from the standpoint of the Spirit, we're glad. We're thankful that things are coming to an end. That this present evil world is coming to its end. And yet we're living in the flesh. And in the flesh, we sometimes falter and become concerned and worried. How are we going to make it through the next day? How am I going to get this done or that done? We'd like to kind of center our attention today on the kingdom, and particularly the phase of the kingdom that Lord willing will have a part in. And therefore, if I could cite that quotation on page 191 of the first volume for you, maybe it will help you to draw your attention away to what is really important. Pastor says, close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe degradation and sorrow that yet prevail on account of sin, and picture before your mental vision the glory of a perfect earth. Not a stain of sin mars the harmony and peace of a perfect society. Not a bitter thought, not an unkind look or word. Love welling up from every heart meets a kindred response in every other heart. And benevolence marks every act. There sickness shall be no more. Not an ache, nor pain, nor any evidence of decay. Not even the fear of such things. Think of all the pictures of comparative health and beauty of human form and feature that you have ever seen, and know that perfect humanity will be of still surpassing loveliness. The inward purity and mental and moral perfection will stamp and glorify every radiant countenance. Such will Earth's society be. Such will Earth's society be. And weeping and bereaved ones will have their tears wiped away when thus they realize the resurrection work complete. In the chapter in the sixth volume, the last chapter of the sixth volume, the pastor speaks of this resurrection inheritance. And he deals with it from two different standpoints. He deals with it from the standpoint of the new creation. And he says, this is the new creation's resurrection inheritance. And whenever we think about that, we think of the glory, the honor, and the immortality, and the power that will be ours once we pass beyond it. And surely this is part of the promise that has been given to us. But the pastor takes another aspect within this chapter, and that's the aspect of the world of mankind. And he tells what will happen to the world of mankind through the church. And if I could put it in this way, he says, this is your resurrection inheritance. What he's saying is that the world of mankind, the poor, degraded, sin-ridden world of mankind, as they are now, will be your inheritance. And the question arises, what will you do with your inheritance? How will you handle it? All kinds of talk is made in reference to people winning the lottery today. That's the big thing, you know. Every state has a lottery. And the question often passes around where, what would happen if you would win the lottery? How would you take that money and spend it? The same thing in reference to if providing somebody that's wealthy in your family dies and leaves you a lot of money. What would you do with that inheritance that you receive? What Brother George brought to our attention this morning was the preparation, the schooling that we are going through now to teach us how to properly handle the resurrection inheritance. The Lord says, I go away, and if I go away, I go away to receive a kingdom. And if I go away, I will come again, that there where I am, he may be also. The pastor brings to our attention that in our resurrection, we will have life. even as our Lord had life with his resurrection. We will be made perfect. He also speaks of the Great Company class. They will not have to go through a trial. The ancient worthies will have passed their trial experience, and they will not have to go through a future trial. They will be given life. And he brings out the thought of what this life means. He says that this means a full standing, a full rising up to perfection. In the case of the church, it will be spiritual life. In the case of the Great Company, of course, it will be spiritual life also. In the case of the church, immortality. In the case of the ancient worthies, you'll be perfect human life here upon the earth. Now, when we talk about what would you do with your inheritance, I'm asking you to kind of create within your minds a case study, as it were. They often use this in school. And so I'm going to ask you today, based upon everything that you've learned in your walk, in your way, to create in your minds a case study. Picture yourself as being one of the saints, one of the resurrected saints. You have had 10, 20, 30, 40 years of experience, maybe more, of preparing for this. And I'm going to assign to you one individual. How will you make this individual perfect? How will you bring them up to the point of where they can stand in front of our Heavenly Father, as Adam stood? How will you bring them up to a full standing of life in its fullest sense? Let's take Saddam Hussein as our case study. There's many others that we could take. As you think about this, think of all the tools that you have to work with in order to accomplish this. And if those tools aren't sharp, think of how you might sharpen them, prepare them, so that you would be ready to take on such a task as this. Remember, mankind will not be raised from the dead up to perfect life instantaneously. The scripture says, as a tree falls, so shall it rise. Our friend Saddam Hussein will come through, come up from the grave, with much the same thoughts that he probably will go down with. You have a picture in your mind? What are the tools that you will work with? We oftentimes quote Matthew, the 18th chapter, where it speaks about how we should take and go to an individual if we have a problem with them. They've sinned against us. If we take a look at Matthew, the 18th chapter, the depth of the lesson that is there is that we're to do not what is best for us, but it's the other individual that we're trying to help. That's Matthew 18. that you might gain a brother. Isn't that the thought? Okay, we have our case study in the cross. Now there's some differences. If you would go or try to go to Saddam Hussein today, you wouldn't get anywhere. There's no question about it whatsoever. And so it is with many individuals we go to try to help. Today, we can't get to them. But remember then that we will have the power of God within us. We will have the power of God that is with us. Of our Lord, in Matthew 28 chapter, it says, after his resurrection, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. It will be so of us also. We will have that power. And because of our love, which has been manifested by our sacrifice, it will be for their good. Agape love in the strictest sense of the word. We'll have that power of the Spirit. Now, what will the power of the Spirit do for us at that time? I think the best example that is laid down to us is that which was given to us by our Lord. Our Lord, for 3.5 years, walked and talked with his disciples. In those 3.5 years, that's equal to a college education because there was no summer vacation there for Jonathan. It was full time. And in 3.5 years, at the end of that period of time, the disciples more or less kind of failed their exam, their final exam. But as soon as the power of the Spirit came upon them, things changed. Then they could understand. Everything that the Lord had taught them for 3.5 years became real. They could harmonize things. They could see where the pieces of the puzzle fit. They could understand all the things that had been written by the prophets before that. Use an illustration. Take the Apostle Paul, for instance. The Spirit came upon him. He was able to write to us about covenants, justification, the tabernacle, love, 4 quarter marks of love. Every aspect of truth, they were able to understand it once the Spirit came upon them. And you'll have this power to be able to be given out to them as they're able to assimilate it. And so, will that be a valuable tool for working with an individual such as Saddam Hussein? I don't know what the end result will be. I don't know as to whether his heart is such that could be molded and worked with. I would think it could. If it just had an understanding of what God was doing in the earth. He has such a hatred for the nation of Israel. If he only understood one thing, maybe that would begin to change him. Change his heart condition. In Iraq, the masses of the Iraqis, I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because from some of the news reports it indicates the fact that many of them are running away, as the case may be. But a vast majority of them side with Saddam Hussein. If we take a look at the world today, as we deal with them as ministers of reconciliation, We recognize the fact that we can go to them and talk to them, and we get no cooperation back. They don't understand what we're doing. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they're like, yes. During this period of time, cooperation of the masses with good will change. The masses will not side with evil. Now we call the proud happy. Yea, they didn't do wickedly. Build up. Malchiah 3. Cooperation of the masses will help one another along. It's a little bit like we are an ecclesia. I hope that as an ecclesia we work together for the common good of the kingdom of God. Working together for that end. And in that day, during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, the masses of mankind will begin to work together. As they say, one real swell oil machine. We look at the world today as we deal with them. There's a great amount of tension. And tension causes failure of health. It causes heart disease as well as many other diseases. During the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, as you deal with the individuals you are assigned to, you will not have this problem to work with. Not to the extent that you have now. The pastor says that it will decrease. Today they speak of the heart or the kidneys or whatever it may be. Once it starts deteriorating, it continues to deteriorate. It won't be that way in the kingdom of God. You'll also have the ability to read the heart. That's something we don't have today. And we can't even begin to appreciate what that will mean to us as we deal with individuals such as Nero, Hitler, Saddam Hussein, the Bushes, whoever it may be. We have no comprehension of what is really in their heart, what they really want. We see some manifestations, some good, some bad. But we can't read the heart. But at that time, you'll be able to read the heart. And being able to read the heart, you'll be able to apply the necessary medication, as it were. Because remember, your purpose in this case study is to make this one acceptable to the Heavenly Father. That's your purpose. You'll also have something else. You'll have what could be referred to as mercy, or could be referred to as understanding. Experience. As you're dealing with individuals during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom as part of your inheritance, you will have had X number of years of experience. And that experience will be very important. Because remember, every person that is resurrected will have the thoughts and lessons of their lifetime in front of them. And with this experience, you'll know how to work with them, to counsel them, to feed them, to make them understand what lessons, what parallels, as it were, to give to them, that they might understand what the Lord would have them to do, and to do it. The experiences that you have today are for that end. Do you really believe that scripture in Romans 8:28 that says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose? If you really and truly believe that, then that means that everything that happens to you has a value, even though you're not able to understand it now. It has a value. It will have an application. It may have an application today, but definitely in your resurrection. Because every experience is valuable to us. The Lord has said so. All things work together for good. They are developing within us a character that is pleasing to the Lord. A couple weeks ago, I was in Florida, and I watched a student, a pottery, working on a wheel with some clay. And the instructor was telling her to take the knife and cut off the top of this as it spun around, just so it'd be just perfectly flat, smooth, and so on and so forth. And the student put the knife down and evidently had the knife just a little bit tilted, and it just ran one continuous ring right on out. And the instructor took the pot, brought it back up, made it all back together again, just like it was. Showed the young lady as to how you put the knife on there, spun it around there, and it was perfect, right? Every experience that we have now is by the Master Potter. He's working with us to create in us an individual being that is able to work with somebody in the kingdom of God. And it is our resurrection inheritance that we're going to be dealing with, working with. It will be our responsibility to bring that person to a position where they can stand before God. We'll also have something else as a tool to work with. As we think of our friend Saddam Hussein, it's going to require time. It's going to require maybe a lot of time to work with him. And the pastor has told us, Scriptures tell us that each individual is going to have at least 100 years. And therefore, when we start our case study here, we should think about the fact that this should be a long-range program. You're going to be working with individuals for a period of time to accomplish this. Oh, we'd like to have it happen just like that. But it didn't happen that way with us. Heavenly Father's been working with me for a lot of years, 38, 39 years now. It doesn't happen. Each person will have at least 100 years to show some form of progress, that their heart is in the right place. And therefore, part of our resurrection inheritance is to get our inheritance in a position where they're showing a proper heart attitude. The environment will also be a helping hand to us. We think of today as the lakes are polluted, the streams are polluted, the fields are polluted with pesticides, insecticides, all these things that have caused our environment to be such that caused mankind to be sick will begin to be washed away as it were, cleansed, cleaned. I believe that it's part of the Jubilee cry that went forth that says, I demand a clean environment. It's a proof to me that we are in the kingdom of God. Not the mediatorial phase, but the early stages of the kingdom. The new creation. The new creation will differ one from another in glory. By the way, that's your case study. I want you to think about it. I want you to take it home with you. I want you to think about it for the next week at least. As to how you would accomplish that. Maybe it will cause you to take different steps in your daily life. In the resurrection, the new creation will differ one from another. The basis of the difference from one from the other will be as to how close we are in our relationship to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Jesus. That will be the basis of our position in the kingdom of God. There will be the Apostle Paul's. And I picture the Apostle Paul sitting on the right hand of our Lord. There will be the John. Maybe he'll be on the left. I don't know. There will be the Pastor Russell's in the kingdom as far as their position. Who have laid down everything. Used every ounce of their strength, every dollar that they could get hold of. To help one another make their call and election sure. And I picture that he'll be one of those right up there, sitting next to him. Where will I be? Where will you be? Today, it takes everything that we've got just to weed out a living for us. Everybody is crying out for our time. It is important in the hope that we will be resurrected and have this inheritance. It is important that we take and set out goals as to what we want to accomplish. Set out priorities as to what is really important for us. It's easy for us to do it today. There's no world out there. Not really. It's so peaceful and quiet. Nobody's bothering us. Nobody's pulling at us. But tomorrow, that's another story. We can say that this lesson of differing in glory applies even today. And there's many lessons that we can draw from this. We would ask you to consider it from the standpoint of what you're doing today is going to make a difference tomorrow. We might take an illustration of this, and just take our class again, as the case may be, and look at that from the standpoint of Lord has established a certain arrangement for classes, for learning, for the creation as a total. And I think that as I travel around the country today, there seems to be less and less respect for classes, for brethren within the classes. And I would encourage you, brethren, to take a new look at this, because this is important. If you believe that the Lord is dealing with that one or that one or that one, whichever one it is, then you must realize that He, as a master potter, is designing that individual as He wants. To the extent that you cooperate with that, to that same extent, you will be blessed. And to the extent that you do not cooperate, then you will not be blessed. The pastor writes on page 726, "In the present time we read that God has set various members in the body as it pleases Him. And all who are in accord with the Lord are continually seeking not to change the divine arrangement." Not to change the divine arrangement, but to recognize it and to cooperate therewith. So also it will surely be in the future. So he's taken the illustration of today, of what we work with every day, and saying the lesson applies in the future. A closing point on page 729 of volume 6. "Speaking of these things as being spiritual things, not understood by the natural man," he says, "unquestionably, therefore, our ability to run the race set before us in the gospel, our striving to overcome the spirit of the world and the besetments of the adversary, will be in proportion as we shall be obedient to the divine counsel and love not the world and lay aside every weight and the easily besetting sin, forgetting not the assembling of ourselves together and searching the scriptures daily and in every sense of the word, making use of the privileges and mercies and blessings conferred upon us as children of God. If we do these things, we shall never fail, but so an entrance shall be administered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now he says, and this is the key. This is the key. He says that we are to strive to overcome the spirit of the world. That's number one. He says that we are to lay aside every weight and the easily besetting sin. Number two. Forgetting not the assembling of ourselves together, and searching the scriptures daily, and in every sense make use of the privileges and mercies and blessings conferred upon us as children of God. He lays out five things for us to do. Can we do those five things? Can we take those five things and list them out in front of us and say, these are the things I'm going to do today? If we do, dearly beloved, he says that we'll be faithful. That's the point he gets down to. If you do these things, you won't fail. And the reason why you won't fail is because you have the power of our Heavenly Father working with you to accomplish this. He'll make it happen if you do your part. And this is how Pastor ends this beautiful volume of the new creation by saying, do these five things. The Lord has blessed you.
We have a challenge. Sometimes it's hard to look beyond the flesh when we're thinking of others. indeed, the resurrection inheritance does mean that we will have to exercise sound mind and look to the Lord's judgments and things of that sort to make these proper decisions. Do you have a closing hymn, Brother Matty? Does anyone in the audience have a choice for a closing hymn? 312A?
Here this morning, I made a mistake in interpretation here of the scripture. Melchizedek did not pay tithes to Abraham. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Please excuse that. Be aware of that fact. It was a mistake. Loving Father, we come into thy hallowed presence. We surely ask thy forgiveness for we have fallen short. We pray for thy guidance and thy direction, thy care and thy peace. We pray for a greater measure of thy Holy Spirit, thy power, thy influence in our life. May we study to gain it. May we meet with one another. May we use every opportunity that we have of serving thee. And Father, may we strive the more earnestly to overcome the world, flesh, and death. And now, leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, thanking thee for all things.